Secret Declarations of War. I'm your host, Alexei Avkar, joined today by my co-host, Salim.
Good evening, all.
And special guest, Artemis Albosa.
Hello, hello.
So, for some shout-outs, we have had so many new recruits to Narnar Academy the past couple weeks. Thank you so much. Welcome aboard, guys. I don't have time to shout all of you out, but there have been quite a few, so I want to thank the audience collectively for responding to the recruitment call that I put out in the last episode. It has been invaluable. Particularly, we've had some returning members, Takali being, I think, the most impactful. As soon as he came in, he put about 500 kills up on the board in his first week and shot Noir right to the top killers for Mercenary Coalition. So props to him and the Australian time zone that's rallying around him and camping the goons down in Pure Blind. Absolutely fabulous. I also want to give a shout out to Tyrolin, a snuff director, who recognized me mid-fleet. Very cool moment.
Okay, I've got three shout outs this week. First one is to Matt Presidius in PL. Manny, congratulations. You finally got what you wanted. I hope you enjoy it, buddy. I hope you get to do some Sov wanding, as many of us in MC have been enjoying for the last week or so, taking half a tribute. Second shout-out is also to another PL guy, Grath Talkin. I'm looking forward to you doing a one-on-one live debate with Mitanni at some point, as you declared your intent to want to do on Twitter the other night. That would be, I think, a lot of Eve would be very interested to hear something like that. And third shout-out is to Ripard Teg, who ran the blog Jester Shrek for a while. He did a couple of blogs on crossing zebras this past week, which break down his point of view on how the war against goons is going and will go. And he brought up some really interesting numbers to put it in context, graphs and data and everything. So a lot of people wanted to see what he had to say, and he responded. So thank you for that, sir. I hope to see more from you in the future.
Audience, did you ever think you'd hear a Ripard Teg shout out on Declarations of War? This war is doing some strange things.
All over, Eve. Yes, absolutely.
Artemis.
I'd like to give a shout-out to an old-time friend and CEO, Endo Seizor. He's taken a short little break from me at the moment to sort out some real-life stuff, but I'm really looking forward to his triumphant return.
Awesome. And, of course, our longtime friends and sponsors, EveBet, New Eden's premier betting service. You can bet on real-life sports with ISK. Also, Eve stuff. Alliance tournament should be announced pretty soon, I think. So once that is, you'll definitely want to get in on the betting on EveBet. They've handled hundreds of trillions in bets since opening. They're a service you can trust. And if you're into, you know, something a bit more casual, they also have blackjack, slots, all that kind of stuff. There's more sports and esports being added every week for you to bet on. Go check it out. Eve-bet.com. All right, guys. So we had a poll. In hindsight, kind of ironic. Will the current Imperium-Voltron conflict be a long, impactful war? That was about, what, 3 weeks ago?
Two or three weeks ago.
57% thought yes. How wrong we were. it looks like the Sages were the 23% of our audience that said it will have a big impact on the map, but it won't last very long.
Just so we're clear, I voted for that one, so...
Okay.
I'll out myself. I thought it was going to last, you know, at least till after FanFest, but now I'm not quite so sure.
Yeah, I thought it would as well. And even when tests came in, I really didn't think they would have the impact that they've had, but... Man, what a chain of events. So let's get right into it. Frontline coverage of World War B on the Declarations of War podcast. As you guys know, Mercenary Coalition has been on the front lines of this war since January, opening up the front in Vale and Tribute, along with our LOSEC allies in Voltron. And there have been many, many developments since we have spoken to you last. So, because that's what everybody's talking about, what everybody wants to hear, pretty much the rest of the show is going to be talking about all the crazy shit that has gone down with the war in the past 3 weeks. So if you're not into that, feel free to skip to the end for the song, because there is a lot to cover. People have been asking about it constantly. So let's get into the top thing. So swiping the slate clean, going back 3 weeks from the last time we did the show, we were pushing in on Circle 2. We were starting to win some POS timers, but, you know, that was it. Well, Test and Pandemic Legion joined the war. Test hitting the Veil of the Silent region primarily, taking a lot of Sov there. PL just going ham, dropping stuff all over the place in multiple fronts. And with the two of them together, backed up by the mercenaries brought in, we have coined it the Money Badger Coalition. It's a fucking fantastic name. If you're new to the game, the Honey Badger Coalition was the previous coalition where Test and Pandemic Legion joined together, and they were quite a powerful block down in the south. Well, we're bringing it back, new and improved, juiced up with tons of gambling money. The Money Badger Coalition has formed and has absolutely gone nuts, shredding Sov across multiple Imperium fronts. Celine, do you have any insight into the whole Money Badger forming thing with your contacts in PL?
Well, I know that a lot of folks were kind of... I know that PL had been contacted about this stuff for a while, and a lot of people were kind of waiting to see what they were going to do. And just yesterday, on Jeff Rader's podcast, Jeff Rader did a Twitch stream where he had a whole bunch of the senior PL people on, and they were talking a bit about it. And what it really came down to was finding a campaign commander that was willing to take on the responsibility of keeping all of the various, you know, egos and everything in check within PL and focused. And that turned out to be Killaby. And so once they had a person that was willing to, you know, make the time and put the effort into getting everything organized, then they rolled in, and they rolled in hard, just like they always do. And I definitely think that PL coming up here, and then, you know, NCDOT had been up a few weeks earlier. So you had the two big dogs come up and start reinforcing all the efforts that MC and Snuffbox and Dead Terrorists and all of the guys in LoSec Voltron had been, you know, doing and, you know, fighting and hacking in for the last few weeks. But I think the big surprise, as you mentioned earlier, was definitely the arrival, I mean, the massive arrival of Test. During all of the lead up and discussions over the last couple of months, we knew what we were trying to do. We knew that there were plans in motion. There were several layers to this, you know, particular onion, and that at some point more was going to show up. Different fronts were going to start, and that there was a grander plan, a bigger picture. But I don't think anybody could have really predicted the impact that Test was going to have when they arrived 400 and 500 strong in MTAC-O. And the, you know, they basically are, they've been matching like and exceeding the numbers of the Goon Swarm fleets and just going out and meeting them head on, you know, the interceptor blobs. And the first night, the sword fleet, the Goon Swarm sword fleet was running. They ran smack into a Test interceptor blob and lost half of their fleet in seconds. And apparently a couple nights ago, there was actually, believe this or not, there was a Test Mercurial fleet running around here. So
what?
Yes, there was a Test Mercurial fleet with about 85 Mercurials running around. So now, granted, you know, Vili, who was a longtime Imperium FC, you know, he landed in Test, and at, you know, the first week or two, he spent most of his time, you know, utilizing Test's large numbers and they by running around doing bomber games, and they hazed the shit out of FCON with you know, wiping out a couple of FCON fleets with bomber gangs. But I don't know if this is a result or not. But yeah, they've had a Mercurial gang run around, and they are. I think that Test, militarily, you know, being, you know, in game, but also the meme machine, you know, just the flood of memes on Reddit.
Yeah, the propaganda war, huge.
I think that above all this. That bot itself has been 50% of the momentum that has happened. They came in and they just turned that shit on, and it has been non-stop for over 2 weeks.
If you're not a Reddit user, I highly encourage you just to check out the Eve subreddit lately. Look for tags, post-tag propaganda. They're well worth your look. Some of the videos, some of the posters, just absolutely outstanding. And I don't think it's done anything to hurt the Imperium so much as it's excited Test. It's excited Eve players that maybe hadn't played for a while and started coming back to rejoin the ranks of the Money Badger Coalition. I think it's inspired some groups to join the Money Badger Coalition that weren't there before. Very impressive. It's always hard to pinpoint exactly how much that kind of thing impacts things, but in terms of historical narrative, in terms of energizing and keeping the morale together for the attacking side, I think it definitely has played a key role. Now, while all that was going on, we had a new front opening up in Teenal, thanks to the Drone Walkers. These are a collection of small alliances up in the Northern Drone Lands region, formerly Rannerish type folks. I hope they don't take offense to that, but I think everyone would sort of admit they never really saw them as independent entities. But they decided to take this action as a unit, and they joined the war. And they have actually invaded Teenal, made some excellent progress, and are now knocking on the door of Branch. And judging by the rest of the Imperium's collapse, which we'll get to later, they're probably going to do quite well up there. Speaking of...
I was about to say, I just want to add, word is that they may have found Razor, but that's unconfirmed.
Yes, found Razor, confirmed, and I. Let us know in the comments section. The Battle of Mtako was huge. This, I think, was the turning point of the war as much as, well, I don't know. There was one turning point for me I think stands out. That's when we killed the Super Caps the week prior. But we covered that in the last episode. But it seemed like that was the time. That was the blood in the water where everyone realized, oh shit, these guys are mortal. Because after that, yep. That's when it seemed like PL showed up, that's when it seemed like Tess showed up, that's when it seemed like Drone Walkers threw in. Everyone is like, oh man, they killed Imperium Supers? Wow. Right on the doorstep, too. Let's fucking do this.
It is an interesting, thought, because up until that point, it'd been a good solid 6 weeks of back and forth with CO2 and Voltron beating the hell out of each other on, every other night. NCDOT showed up in the area, and from time to time they were also jumping in on it. But once those super caps went down in Hakkanen, and that was a long time coming, because they had been doing that. That had been kind of their trump card. Every time that things started to get out of hand, they would start dropping supers. And this time, it did not work out for them. And then once that happened, did kind of seem like within the next week or so the floodgates really opened.
And not only that, they stopped showing up for timers after that. We went unopposed, hitting their money moons and stuff in LOSEC right up to the Battle of Mtako. They never put a fleet out against us after that.
And yeah, but in Mtako, it was just completely ironic. So this was the big thing. This is the doorstep to the north. Traditionally always has been, and it just happened to be their CO2's capital system. And CO2 had the largest fleet there. They had 300 people in fleet, and goons and the Imperium pinged the shit out of it for the 2 days prior, and goons had about 270. And EFCON, as far as I know, tried to show up in hurricanes and such, and Vili blapped the shit out of them with bombers, so there was something like 150-something EFCON got killed before they could even get in. But at the end of the day, it didn't matter, because if I remember correctly, there was something like over 3,000 money badgers and about 1,200 Imperium. And the main fight took place in the system next door.
In Jagamp.
Yep. And there were 3,400 in local brawling on the Imtaco gate for about an hour, which felt like a lot longer in Tie-Dye.
Yeah.
Well, that was a key element to it, because they fought in the system next door, it wasn't reinforced. So the server was straining quite hard to keep up with those numbers. And there was simultaneously fights happening in Imtaco proper.
Well, the beautiful part about this, and I mean, and I know that we're going to probably discuss this a bit more because of the new SOV system. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff happen all over the cluster with Aegis SOV. But in Imtaco, it was probably the biggest test because, I mean, this was massive, massive numbers of big, heavy alliances pounding on each other with their main fleets. But at the same time, you had bombers hitting fleets on the way. MC had our own little 10, 15 man Intosis gang running around hitting nodes. And we weren't the only ones that were doing that. PL decided to say, to hell with that. They just dropped in, you know, Chimeras with, you know, Tech 2 Intosis modules and just started, you know, looking for nodes that way. Initiative had this doctrine where they were chain jumping FCs out of fleets with Tech 3 destroyers. Imtaco was like the pizza with everything on it. It was absolutely insane. And I'm so happy I was there. It was just incredible.
I was unfortunately stuck at work. I had to watch everything through Twitch. Big shout out to ZNN, by the way. Absolutely great Twitch channel. Excellent war coverage. I had to live vicariously through you guys. But it was definitely like the fight that Eve has wished it had in the past couple months.
And it really highlighted something for me moving into this new SOV system, is that there is this big fight, and I think CFC whelped a total of four fleets, something like that. They just completely lost the field with five mainline fleets. But even during that, at the beginning of this battle for Imtaco, they were winning the SOV war. They were winning the Intosis fights and those little skirmishes that were happening in the fringe systems around the Constellation. And one of the things it highlighted to me was the Money Badger Coalition was able to recognize this and then adjust our strategy, adjust the way we were fighting, move key assets, key fleets into different areas, and the CFC weren't able to counter it, whether it be because of a lack of numbers or, what is my opinion, that they didn't have the number of FCs, the amount of sort of brain power that they've had in the past. You've had a lot of mainline FCs who've been leaving the Imperium, whether they be with corps who are leaving or who just got sick and tired of the big blue donut. And I think that's going to be one of the key factors in the Imperium eventually falling, is that they've just been draining all of these brilliant Eve strategists and fleet commanders and not really gaining anyone.
Yeah, just to confirm what you were saying with regard to the way that the nodes were going. At one point, because there were two main things going on. There was the station timer and the IHUP timer. And the station timer in Imtaco was kind of ignored. MBC formed up for the IHUP timer as the primary target. And at one point in the battle, it was 85% in the defender's favor. And with the ADM, you know, strategic index being so high, since it was CO2's capital system, they only really have to, they can kill one of those command nodes in outside of Tie-Dye in like 4 to 6 minutes per node. So it takes, you know, like two or three times longer to kill it as an attacker, as a defender. So they came very close to putting it, to making the battle completely irrelevant. But, you know, as Artemis said, very quickly, the smaller groups that were running around started to turn the tide. And it was a really interesting dynamic to see all of those different things coming into play in one massive fight.
Yeah, I was watching Boat's stream for part of it, and he was quite smug. It seemed from their end they were extremely confident that they were going to cross the goal line with the defense there, and it was a little difficult for me to tell exactly where things went wrong for them, but I guess, like Artemis said, we adjusted our strategy and managed to kill off the guys that were in Tosasing, so we could do it instead. But they were, like, Boat was, he was laughing, like, oh, yeah, good, you guys won the fleet fights in MTAC-O. Yeah, great job. You guys don't know how the system works. You don't know how the game works these days.
And then I think
he wound up losing that anyway.
I think there were even some a few tweets went out from some of the Goon FCs that, you know, ha ha ha, you know, so much for this, doesn't matter, we're gonna pause up now that we've won. And then it started turning around. But as a result, we got a new ally.
Yeah, so the biggest fallout from this was not the whelped fleets. It was not the dev blog about the battle like they did for BTAC-R. That's like the scale of this fight was happening on. It wasn't the dead eye hub. The biggest fallout was that immediately after the fight, I think before everybody even cleared the area, Circle of Two posted on Reddit that they were going to not just leave the Imperium, but defect to the Money Badger Coalition. So they effectively immediately reset all of the Imperium alliances, and then the following day blew up all the Money Badger Coalition guys. So the hardest fighters in the Imperium, at least so far, said, all right, well, we've had enough of that. We're going to be fighting for Money Badger Coalition now. And it immediately changed everything. If the super fight was the turning point where we killed the supers in Hakkanen, I think the Money Badger Coalition acquiring CO2 was pretty much the nail in the coffin. Because as soon as they did that, there was no more talk of an Imperium offensive. There was no more talk of lines being held. Immediately, TNT started evacing. You had the total collapse up north. Now that we had easy places to dock and tribute, Pure Blind was definitely under siege, and in fact, as we'll talk about soon, Declan was under siege immediately afterward. I would like to read part of the judge's post on Reddit here, and it was very interesting. I don't know how much of it exactly is true. Versus how much of it is just sort of convenient for what they needed to do, but... let's see here. This can mostly be summed up, their reasons, as GSF taking care of their interests while blatantly disregarding the coalition policies they claim to uphold. Plenty of time goons showed a total lack of consideration, and we remained silent. Corporations were poached from us, disregarding coalition procedures. Goonstorm director responsible is still sitting in his chair, and we remain silent. Blacklisted corporations were recruited by allies, unblacklisted because it suited them, and we remain silent. We were not okay with messing with Pravi Sav, but we remain silent. The Viceroy plan was ridiculous. It was, quote, just ridiculous, quote, but we remain silent. Exactly 5 months ago, Sav threatened to expel Circle of Two from the coalition. In very clear terms, we were ordered to fall in line or suffer the consequences. We chose the latter and informed our members that expulsion was imminent from that point on. We continued to do what good allies are supposed to do, help where assistance is needed. At the time, we did what we think an alliance should do, take care of our members, try to grow, and better ourselves. We had, separate from goons, made plans to defend Tribute and Vale together with the Bastion and get off my lawn. All it took was a candlelit dinner with Mittens for the Bastion and Lawn to completely abandon Vale and leave CO2 alone to defend Tribute. The whole time other Imperial alliances were called to Saarinen, while we were not even informed of such movements or how they would relate in regards to the defense of Tribute. Over the past few months, it's become increasingly clear that we only serve as a meat shield. Circle of Two is not a meat shield. We will stand as the wall that defends Declan from the angry hordes that as the wall that defends Declan from the angry hordes for the benefit of goons. We will no longer subject our pilots to the indecency of watching their hard work burn while goons sit in their ivory tower. We will no longer stand as an unequal partner in the Imperium for the good of our members. We will be separating ourselves from the Imperium with a full and complete reset all Imperium member alliances.
I got it.
Sounds like the Declaration of Independence.
When I first read that, I thought it was just a massive troll from someone in test. Like, for the first good half an hour after I saw that go out, I was on comms during sort of the wrap-up of the MTAC-O battle, making sure everybody was home safe and killing off stragglers. And I was telling people, nah, it can't be true. There's no way this is actually happening, because this is ridiculous. I mean, that's huge. Probably CFC's best, well-skilled, most disciplined PvP alliance is flipping sides. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it happened literally as things were winding down. I mean, there were still fights going on near the station, and I'm not sure if the nodes had been completely flipped or not, but I remember that when the Reddit post went up, and a lot of people thought that it was some kind of elaborate troll, but there were a few folks that had been in the know from within the last 24 hours, including Killa B from PL and Saber A from MC and a few others, and they quickly confirmed that, nope, this is the real deal. We were aware that this was a very good possibility, and there it is. And so now CO2 has come over to the light side of the force, so to speak, and have been very aggressive in, of course, they have a vested interest in being very aggressive to make sure that their former friends are no longer going to have any sort of staying power in the North. And as Alex said a moment ago, one of the very first things that they did was, just for the shits and giggles, they went to VFK and reinforced everything.
So VFK by April doesn't quite have the same ring to it, but here we are. VFK was hit. This is one of the two symbolic capital systems of Goonswarm. I would say the more symbolic of the two, the other one being a more practical one. And simultaneously, the EFCON staging system of UQ9 was hit. And sure enough, there's a big fuck-off battle for UQ9. Not a big, huge battle for VFK, which I was surprised about. I really thought that people would see the opportunity to take such an important system and just roll with it. But it seemed like the FCs in charge took a very practical approach and realized that, hey, while this might be great symbolic or PR value, it's not actually a super important system in the larger picture of the war. So they put their efforts into attacking UQ9, which was in a different area but had a similar timer. And impressively, yes, as Mark notes here in our show notes, 500 EFCON showed up to defend. It was very impressive. If only they had turned up 500 people for MTECO, things may have been different.
Or if Goons had shown up, 17,000, I believe, in Goon Swarm. And, you would think they could form more than one or two major fleets, as an alliance. But that 500 EFCON in UQ9 was the largest defense fleet from a single alliance that we have seen so far, and will probably be remembered as such, because, as I said earlier, CO2 put up 300, EFCON put up 500, and from a single alliance, that's staggering. It's really amazing, but it was not enough by any stretch of the imagination, not in terms of numbers or fleet composition or organization or anything, because they were expecting a lot more help to come, and it didn't show.
And immediately after that, the evac began, and that was pretty much it for Branch at that point.
EFCON has become a pinata. It really has. If you look at, I hate saying it, and it's not even just in their former territory. Even in Saarinen, Pure Blind, even in Declan, I think they lost, I think there was an EFCON super that was lost a couple of days ago. I don't know what it is about that alliance tag, but it is just, it's they're a pinata right now. It's horrible.
Yeah, they've lost four supers in the last week alone.
Ouch.
Two of them have been in Declan. Excuse me, three supers in Declan and one super in Pure Blind were lost.
Yeah, and then one thing that needs to definitely be noted with regard to especially EFCON territory is along with, you know, the other northern part of the map, are the number of capital ship assembly arrays that have been, you know, reinforced and destroyed.
And this is an interesting dynamic of the CO2 defection, because now with them flipping, they actually leaked which of those CSAAs were active, what they were building, and when the builds planned to be completed.
And now it's approaching, the last official count I saw was 67 supers of one, you know, some kind or another had been aborted in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, I don't know, I'm pretty sure that number's gone up since then, but that was the last official count I saw. And of course, that's being touted by, you know, the aggressors as, well, you know, we lost 70-odd Titans and Supers in BTAC-R a couple years ago, and now we're getting a bit of payback. And so, and it's going to only get worse, because you can't cancel these jobs without losing the minerals and everything that you've put in there. So once you start a Super Cap build, it's there until it's either born or aborted. And I'm quite sure that the campaign commanders that have all of these timers that are looking at things are pacing themselves quite well to maximize the damage.
Yeah, and if you think about the amount of ISK that is staggering. That's over a trillion in supers, even if they're just motherships.
That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So it's probably more closely about a trillion and a half, if not more. That's a staggering amount of money to be out. Not to mention, goons will be losing all of their 0-0 income in terms of ratting. They won't be able to do that anymore. Money moons, they're losing them left and right. The supers, they won't be able to profit off those. You know, one has to wonder, obviously they've been sitting rich in Declan for a very long time, but they've also been fairly public with their really liberal SRP policies, and, you know, they do have a lot of coalition members to service. Now that all of their money-making opportunities are gone, one does question how long are they going to be able to keep up the level of SRP that their members have become accustomed to over the past 6 years, i.e., like, we'll double your ship replacement, basically, they were doing at one point. Obviously, that's going to have to get scaled back at some point. You know, what level of discontent is that going to sow, especially among the non-something-awful goons? You know, these guys that don't have that out-of-Eve cultural tie-in. I mean, there's got to be plenty of them in that category. You know, how long are they going to stick by if they're not getting their ships back anymore?
Well, apparently, I mean, I've read so much over the past few weeks. It's just, it's all started to blur together. But, you know, the whole point of it was, you know, if anybody comes under attack, then, you know, everybody will rush to your help. And, you know, we'll be there for you and we'll help defend your territory and all that. And it seems as if goons and the rest of the CFC kind of used what happened in MTACO, used the defection of Circle of Two as sort of an excuse to maybe not show up to some of these timers, you know, and combined with everything else. But I know that, you know, there was a lot of discussion about, okay, and if, you know, one of your, you know, CSAAs gets killed, then, you know, we'll cover it, we'll reimburse it. Well, I don't think that's happening. I seriously doubt that they could even do that anymore. But one does have to wonder where all the money in the vaults are or what they were doing. Their new doctrine is what they call the Baltic Fleet, which is Megatrons and Apox, which good luck with that. It's going to be fun to see if it ever gets deployed in force. So, yeah.
Moving on.
The downgrade.
Yeah.
Things get worse for the Imperium as we go on. MC has taken UMI, which is a key staging system in Tribute. It is basically the station that's closest to bordering Pureblind. It has given the forces that were staged in Hakkanen to fight in Vale and Tribute, a launching point to hit into Pure Blind and Declan without having to massively relocate to the other end of the galaxy in Losec. This is huge in that, you know, once we get everybody moved in there, we can then participate directly in any Pure Blind or Declan-related fights pretty easily. This is part of a larger sort of cleanup operation for MC, which we'll talk about in a bit. But I think strategically, it's, again, it's most valuable for giving the Losec Voltron guys a way to engage directly in the 0-0 fights to come, if there in fact are any, in Pure Blind, perhaps in Saarinen proper, Declan, if Goonswarm decides to form to defend it. It'll be much easier for us to get there than it was before, which again just shrinks the fronts, brings everybody closer together, makes it easier for us to participate. It's definitely given MC the ability to camp in Pure Blind, as I talked about in the shoutouts. Our Australian time zone has gone buck wild, along with a couple PL guys and a few camper buddies of ours from back in the day. And they've just been piling on hundreds of kills, as Imperium pilots go from Declan to their staging system, from their staging system out to find targets, and vice versa. It's been very, very bloody. And it's only going to get worse.
Just to kind of put some emphasis on what Alec is saying there, if you look at the MC kill board right now, the top ship, it's funny, over the last several weeks, you know, the top, you know, you... There's been Proteuses and Mercurials and everything. The top ship right now, by 600 kills, is the Saber. So, lots of bubbling and gate camping going on.
Doing work.
Yeah. Yep.
So, as we mentioned, they have withdrawn to Saarinen, the Imperium. This is their new Losec staging. It's pretty close to EC-TAC, which is the other gateway to the North system. And that one they still have control over for now, but it's rapidly deteriorating for them, and they haven't really been forming the kind of fleets you would expect a coalition their size to form if they're serious about defending. So I expect that, you know, they'll probably lose the few remaining systems they have in that area as well. And the more space they lose, the harder it's going to be to defend Declan proper, if they even plan to anymore. Who knows? You certainly indicated they don't really want to engage in a straight-up fight. So.
Yeah, and I mean, as of yesterday, there's been like an almost 24-hour hell camp that's been formed in Saarinen and the surrounding area. There are... there's a continual flow of Pandemic Legion, NC Dot, Pandemic Horde ships going, you know, rotating in and out of Saarinen, and then the surrounding systems. There's capital ships getting DD'd on the undock. There was a Space Monkey's Hell that got nuked by Pandemic Legion the other day, and in that hot drop there were 5 PL Revenants, so they're not the least bit afraid to throw in the expensive hardware. But it's not coming completely without cost. I mean, one of the things that Goons have managed to do to counter some of this is they are able, with their numbers, they are putting together some rather large bomber gangs. And they're not necessarily bombing things, but they're using the DPS, you know, from the torpedoes and the bombers to go after carrier targets, or, you know, anything that they see that's in triage or anything that they can catch on a gate. You put 70 or 80 bombers onto a carrier and it blows up really fast. And PL has lost, I believe, 3, possibly 4 carriers to this in just the last couple of days. So it's not, you know, it's not coming without cost, but in the grand scheme of things, it's, you know, yeah, losses are expected, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they are shedding some blood, but it's nowhere near making up for the hits that they're taking. I mean, even yesterday, everybody got together, and 93PI, the Nullsec system directly adjacent to Saarinen, CFC has supposedly staged all of their supers out of pauses in that system. And yesterday, the Money Badger Coalition went through and reinforced and bubbled every single one of those pauses. And we didn't have very much, if any, of a resistance there. No bomber gangs that made a huge impact. CFC barely even undocked. So,
They can't. I mean, they can't. Even their stations in Declan are getting bubbled and just what people I don't think really, from an external viewpoint, if you're like down in like Tenerife or Paragon Sol or something like that, you probably aren't paying as much attention to this because you're just, you know, happy down there doing your own thing. But if you really take a look at the sheer numbers that are arrayed against the CFC right now, and not just in terms of, but the variety of those forces. I mean, you have a who's who of military types, of fleet commanders that are experts in everything from just, you know, Tech 3 gangs to super cap fighting to just gate camping, roaming. They've got it all. And as Alex said earlier, as Artemis said earlier, one of the big disadvantages that goons have right now is that over the past year or two, they have bled a lot of talent, and a lot of that talent has gotten hoovered up by other alliances. You know, I mentioned Vili earlier from Test. He's one of them. Goon Swarm lost Backcountry to PL, you know, in Indy. So there's all of these people that not only are good at what they do, but they also come from the target that we are now attacking and arguably know where to hit them the hardest in order for it to hurt the most.
Well, I think that's a good segue to our other point, which is not only have they been losing people gradually over the past year or two, but they've lost some pretty decent-sized corps directly, Whole Violence being one of them, and there are more as well, Backcountry, for sure. Now, they're going to gain some back as alliances disband in the coalition. They're going to spread out and join, you would assume some percentage anyway, are going to spread out and join other coalition member alliances to sort of stick with the crew. How many that'll go direct to Goons, how many that'll go to Bastion, etc., who knows. I think one key aspect of this, though, is that brain drain that Artemis touched on, which is a really great point. The guys that they're going to be picking up, probably not the cream of the crop of the alliances that are leaving in terms of FC power, because why would they be? I think one huge issue for Goons, if they do want to make a go of this, is figuring out how to sort of get that next generation trained up and quickly so that they have people to fill that gap. But it's going to be interesting for them. I think one thing that's really lacking, and this is sort of my look at the whole war in general, if it progresses past when Goonswarm loses all their stuff, it's going to be dependent on the Imperium staying together as a functioning entity. It does not look like it's trending in that direction. Breaking news, I haven't even had the opportunity to listen to the recording, because it happened just like hours ago as we're making this broadcast. SMA has declared that they're leaving, and they're headed over to Outer Ring. So that's one more alliance down.
Yeah, and in that whole... I got a chance to listen to a big chunk of it, and I've also read the Cliff Notes, and that whole announcement is so... It's a delusional delusion. It's just unbelievable. You know, they're talking about going to Cloud Ring and running Sisters of Eve missions, and you know, it has all the markings of everything you've ever heard whenever an alliance starts to implode. It shouldn't be too big of a surprise considering the strain that, you know, Space Monkeys has been under for the last few months. But even so, to hear like one of the leaders give this address and say the things that he was saying, it's just, they're not even here. And of course, Reddit's already lit up with people trying to point this out to them. So, You know, that's the question that, you know, I think a lot of people on, you know, our side of things, you know, would like to ask. It's like, do you guys really believe this shit? It's just phenomenal. When you hear your leader saying this stuff to you, do you really believe it? Okay, we're going to go to the promised land now, or what? And Cloud Ring is the promised land?
It's not even Cloud Ring. It's Outer Ring.
Outer Ring.
NPC space.
Yeah. I mean, and then, of course, they said, and they're going to drop citadels there to base out of. Well, who the fuck you think is going to let you keep a citadel for longer than 15 minutes? It's amazing.
Well, they are really banking on PL having a busy schedule.
I think that is the mistake a lot of people are making on the CFC side. And you'll notice I'm not calling them Imperium. I'm not doing it. That's their monetary thing. No, they're the CFC. But I think that's a big part of it, is that they're sitting there under the impression that, number one, the money badgers are all going to turn on each other at any moment. And
which, to be fair,
it's a possibility that there's going to be disagreements. But if you look at over the last, I mean, this has gone on. We've been in the middle of this for the last 3 months. And MC has been working with Dead Terrorists and Shadow Cartel and Snuffbox and
Project Mayhem.
Project Mayhem. And traditionally, those groups, like, are rabid. They loathe each other. And yet, when we get in a big Voltron, when we form Voltron, when we get into one of these big maxed out fleets with all five alliances, it's amazing. The FCs rotate relatively easily. Everybody knows what their job is. And, you know, they all sort of fly the same doctrines anyway. So it's not like, you know, there's on the job training. And so my thought to all of this stuff that, like, NBC is going to start turning on each other is, like, MC is involved in, like, arguably some of the most, you know, if there's going to be a fracture, it would be right around where we are. Because we're operating in between two of the groups that really historically dislike each other the most. And yet somehow we've made it work, and we're continuing to make it work. And we're all staged up in UMI now and eagerly looking to the, you know, the Galactic West and ready to go. Once Declan is burned, and have no doubt, boys and girls, it is going to burn. I also don't believe that there's just going to be this, okay, everybody's going to go back off and do their own thing. I mean, some people are going to fuck off and do their own thing. Some people, but I think that there's going to be a kind of unspoken agreement, or maybe a spoken agreement that, you know, I'm not aware of, that no one wants to see an entity the size and the scope and the bluster of CFC form again anytime soon. Maybe it'll happen, like, out in the fucking drone lands where no one cares. But, like, right on the front door of MPs, of, you know, Imperial space, I just don't see it happening. Not anytime soon.
So here's what it's going to come down to. Will Imperium, and I call them Imperium because I feel like they get to name themselves. Will they maintain their cohesion as a coalition longer than the Money Badgers will? And that's what it's ultimately going to come down to. If Money Badgers fractures first, or they do the historical thing, which was, okay, we all blew each other up for this war, the war's over, we're going to reset each other, and they'll have, like, that agreement that, sure, we'll help defend each other's space, but then it never really happens. If that happens, and Imperium's still a functioning unit, you'll have this counterattack in a couple months, and the war will continue. If Money Badgers doesn't disperse in that way, and Imperium does, then, I mean, that's basically it for the war as a chapter. It might restart in the future at some point, but I think at that point it'll be a different conflict. Mm-hmm. Goons will probably either relocate to NPC space or crash on somebody's couch, probably down with the Russians that support them. By the way, we didn't talk about that, but the Southern Russian Soviet Union, XDEF, have all come up to try to support CFC, but SLE so far have not done so in enough numbers to really stall anything. But they are here.
Just to touch on one quick thing, what you were saying is there is a Reddit thread claiming that there's been a leak from, you know, Goon Swarm Illuminati that is basically supposedly showing evidence of what the grand plan would be that let the other CFC alliances sort of like fail and cascade into like a mega super alliance of goons, you know, like 20-something, 25,000 goons. And then that's when the holy jihad of revenge would be launched and all of that. But maybe that's a possibility. Who knows? But I don't know. It's just...
My whole problem with that eventuality is I really don't see a reason for the Imperium to stay as a working, cohesive unit after they lose Declan, after they lose their solid space. You know, what is the reason that these quote-unquote meat shield alliances should stay with Goonswarm, should stay in this unit? Goonswarm obviously has failed their promise to protect their space. There's, from leaks that we've had from Sky Team chat logs and from CO2 when they left the alliance, whether it's true or not, it definitely seems like there's some bad blood between the various alliances within the coalition. If there's no monetary gain to be had, if there isn't sort of these guys are friends, they enjoy flying with each other, if that isn't there, why would they stick together? What reason is there for people to stay with Goonswarm, to stay with the Imperium?
The only theory is that the bad blood aspect of it is exaggerated, either because it's being distorted by Reddit or because they're just under a lot of stress right now. They do have a long shared cultural history, so I don't think it's totally unreasonable to expect at least some portion of them will continue to fight and fly together just because, like, they're legit friends or they just have this shared cultural experience in which they are together with these other people against the rest of the game. So, I think the real question is whether or not that feeling is pervasive enough and strong enough to retain enough alliances or people to make the coalition viable. And it may not be, but it's definitely going to be a factor for a lot of people. Now, related to all of this, this is sort of a, I would call it a wild card thing, which is the Russians. Currently, they have not, I mean, they've deployed, but they haven't deployed in force. There are no capital or super capital assets up here. They're not counterattacking systems or anything like that. However, again, breaking news. Xdeath, who's the leader of one of the larger coalitions of Russians, has disowned the drone walkers, who were their former pets or renters or at least allies, whoever you want to phrase it for them, said, we actually don't agree with what they're doing, and in fact, they're getting a little too big for their britches. So they are deploying, at least according to a translated Russian post on Reddit, deploying in full force up to the Tenal area to fight them off in that front and possibly evict them from their space in the drone regions as well. Now, I think that by itself is not going to do anything to save the Imperium. The Imperium is facing much bigger problems than losing Tenal and Branch. Although that's obviously very important to them, the fact that they're losing Pureblind and Declan, especially Declan, is of much greater concern. However, if Xdeath comes up there with the full capital forces, might that encourage other members of his Russian coalition to do the same? And if so, if they're in the area, generally speaking, will that impact CFC's willingness to get frisky with some of their heavier assets?
Well, there's been a couple of... It's really going to be interesting to see what Xdeath does. I mean, look at the map. If you look at the size of all that, it's been a long time since they've been involved in a huge like thing like this. How much of that is, you know, Rinter numbers? How much of that is fluff? How much of that is true military force? And within, you know, to put this in a bit more perspective. So drone walkers have, over the last 7 days, have taken more territory than anybody else in the MBC. They've taken 37 plus systems. And they're very good at this Entosis thing. They're very good at the Solve War stuff. So one of the things that just popped up on Reddit is that if you look at the timer board for Shadow of Xdeath territory, Over the last few hours, drone walkers have reinforced 104 sovereignty structures and stations of Shadow of X-Death. So, and that is everywhere. That is in Vail. That is in Peregrine Falls. It's in Ossa. It's all over the drone regions. So, essentially, X-Death has declared war on one of his own armies, and that army has turned around and had a not so pleasant response to that declaration. So it will be very interesting to see what the result of that is, or if it's even going to affect anything that's going on if they're busy fighting each other. What a circus.
Well, World War B for a reason. I mean, even Private came up to fight. Revenge for the Imperium hazing their IHUBs back in the day.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, this is just a really great time to be an Eve. I mean, you can see that. Everybody's super hyped about the war. There's plenty of things to go on, plenty of fights to be had, and it's showing in the player count. The PCU has been up consistently over the past week. In fact, I think we just broke the record. We had 41,000, which is the highest we've had in the last year, at least. So this war is definitely a good thing for Eve, at the very least.
Yeah, but just hope it doesn't end too soon. I kind of do want to see the Imperium make a pushback just to extend the good times a little bit. We'll see.
A hypothetical for you, Alec. At what point do you think they'll make that push? What is going to be the final thread?
What'll be the final thing that does it?
Yeah.
Well, I think they'll probably make a defense for YAO. If in fact their super caps are captured in 9GI and they're trapped there, they may make a stand to try to break them out. Beyond that, I think the two triggers for them coming back and fighting are if Soviet Union and maybe another big Russian alliance moves caps up north and gets settled, and the other one is if Pandemic Legion deploys away from the front to do something else. I think those two events would cause them to counterattack.
Interesting. Celine, what do you think?
If anything's going to happen, it would be YAO, at least for nothing more than matter of pride. But CO2, jumping the gun once again, was in YAO last night and was intosising stuff. And they did it with 60 dudes. If the bulk of the bulk of all of the Goon forces are in Saarinen, and if the majority of their supercat fleet are in towers that are currently reinforced and bubbled as of yesterday, what genius made that decision? But to leave them there.
How confirmed is that, by the way?
Oh, that it is. I don't know how many, but there were at least a dozen towers reinforced that they'd all been scouted to have some kind of supers logged off in them from all the different CFC alliances. That was what the big, huge fleets were yesterday after Jeff Rader's Twitch stream. Basically, a big chunk of the whole NBC formed up and did this. And, you know, so along with the Hell Camp and Saarinen, there is that. If there's going to be a pushback or a fight back, you know, one has to wonder, I mean, they've got to get undocked first. And I'm not even saying that in a snarky way. I'm saying that in a way it's like, they're going to have to find a way to not only break out of, you know, all of the demons at the door that are watching them, but then they're going to have to, like, come in force to defend what's, at least according to the map, is still theirs. So I'm with you, Alec. I would love to see this get drawn out a bit more. I think that I would love to say that I don't think we've seen the end of it. But if you've played Eve long enough and you've seen events play out as quickly as they have. I mean, it's like the poll you showed earlier. I don't think, I mean, 2 weeks ago, we're sitting here, MC over the last 8 days has taken 25 sovereign systems in 11 stations. According to the timetable we had laid out, we're supposed to still be like beating our heads bloody against CO2 halfway through tribute. for most of this month. We're so far ahead of any sort of like schedule that it's unfathomable that we are in the position that we are. So when things go this fast, when things start to implode this fast, historically, there's either one last big fucking bang or it's just a fizzle and nothing happens. And that's kind of the, I mean, those are literally the two things that are going to happen. But the longer that they're camped in, I think the harder it's going to be for them to break out and give everybody the big fight that maybe even they want to have.
I don't think the camp aspect of it is that bad. I mean, being hell camped in Los Sec is kind of eh. I fully expect them to be able to break out of that. I think the bigger challenges for them is, okay, we've undocked. Now what? So I feel like even if they manage to force Test off the undock, which they probably are going to be able to do, if they go into 9GI, they're going to face absolute hell. Like every super, every cap ship, every Macarial fleet is going to be targeted on that one system. And I don't no longer think they have the numbers to challenge that, to be honest. Which is super ironic, considering we're talking about the fucking goons. Well, the goons don't have the numbers? Are you kidding me?
This goes back to what we said earlier. I mean, look at what happened in TACO. Look at what happened in UQ9. The biggest fleets there were the home team, were CO2 and FCON. And that's not the way it's supposed to be, you know. Not in a coalition of 40,000 plus people led by the. I mean, what is arguably? I mean, we spend. You know, it may seem like bashing, but it's. You know, we're really just been talking about what's actually been happening. You cannot minimize or take away the incredible amount of organization and. The accomplishments that the goons have done in this game, you know, love them or hate them. They've managed to do things for years that, nobody else has been able to duplicate. So, I mean, to me, it's almost as astonishing that things are going the way that they are because you would have thought that there's no way this could happen. And, you know, as you said, This is the largest coalition in the game. This is the largest alliance in the game. How can this be happening so fast? And, you know, is it the propaganda war? Is it just the intelligence bleed, as Artemis said? Hopefully, about 4 or 5 years, Andrew Groen will write another book that will that will tell us the history of this war.
Oh, I hope so. Goddamn, it's a good book, by the way.
Oh, it's fucking fantastic. Buy that damn book, guys. If you haven't bought Andrew Gowen's History of the Empires of Eve, you gotta buy that book.
It's up on Amazon now.
Oh, yeah, baby. I'm buying like 10 copies for my family. Not even lying. Alright, guys. Little NAR MC update. Recruitment for NAR is going up, 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 which is fucking excellent. This is probably one of the better times to join. Pay no attention to that whole we're just mopping things up conversation that we had in the prior half of this podcast. You want to be in now.
Oh, there are fights. There are fights still happening.
Yeah, there are fights to be had. Many fights to be had. Lots of content. Lots of great gate camping going on right now. Actually, probably some of the primest gate camping the North has ever seen. So if you're into that, come on board. We're also cleaning up, I would say, the western half of Tribute. We're pretty much all of TNT's former space is going over to MC, at least temporarily. We've taken UMI, we're taking many other staging systems, taking Money Moons, all that good stuff, setting up for a final push into Pure Blind and Declan. We've gotten, like I said, the gate camping is great, over 500 kills in the past week alone. And that's with just a starter camp of a handful of guys. Like, the bulk of the alliance isn't even over there yet. We're already just painting the place red. It's amazing. The other big piece of news that I want to get out there is that the New Eden Grand Prix 2 is coming. We have a date and a time. April 30th at 2000. That's April 30th at 2000. come see the blog post. There'll be a blog post prior to this episode being released that'll have all the information on it. I guess the key element of that is make sure that you join the Ink Game channel, New Eden Grand Prix. That's four words. New Eden Grand Prix, P-R-I-X. And stay tuned to the show for more updates as they come. It'll be much like last year's. It'll be a T1 frigate race. It will have obstacles. It will be live fire. Ships will be provided for you. All you have to do is show up. There will be live color commentary from myself and Celine as Noir and Mercenary Coalition lay out the dangerous, dangerous traps for our racers. We're going to have a couple returning favorites in terms of obstacles, the popular ones from last year. We're probably going to throw a few new ones in there to keep people on their toes. So definitely something you don't want to miss. It'll be broadcasted on Twitch, twitch.tv/AlexeyofCard. And once again, totally free to participate. Ships provided for you. All you have to do is show up in a pod. It's tremendous amounts of fun. So I very much encourage you to show up, tell your friends to show up, and if you can't be there, tune in for a very entertaining broadcast. Okay, one of our other sponsors, EveServers.info. Very cool guys. Stop trusting random third parties with your data. This is Eve, after all. With EveServers.info, you and only you get access to your Corp and Alliance information. They'll provide you with a fully functioning, professionally built web server with complete API integration. We're talking TeamSpeak, forums, instant messaging, corp management tools, all very simple to set up and easy to use. If you want information, email eveservers@gmail.com or go to their website, eveservers.info. That's it, guys. Head to declarationsofwar.com to participate in the show poll and leave a comment. You can reach Noir via our public channel, CafeNoir.com, and apply to join Noir at NoirMerks.com, our brand spanking new recruitment portal. Looks glorious. Go check it out. And with that, good hunting, listeners.
Is it just fantasy? Caught by a reboot. No access to tranquility. Server shut down. Get up from your chair and pee. I'm just a pony. I need no sympathy. Cause I'm easy come, easy go. Easy you hide, easy you low. Anyway the game loves doesn't really matter to me. CCP just killed TQ and put a dunce cap on his head. Pull the power, now it's dead. CCP ops had just begun, but now you've got a throne in all. If I can't log in by this time tomorrow, carry on, as if downtime really matters. And too late, I pressed undock. Send shivers down my spine. JF's lagging all the time. Goodbye, everybody. The game just froze. I can't deliver those contracts, and that's the truth. Mama. I sometimes wish I'd never logged in at all. I see a little silhouette on a dock.
UI lag.
Will it load or no go? Server load that lightning. Very, very frightening me. Game dev loves me.
He's just a puppy. Check his club history. Spare him the shame of this lost CCP.
Easy come, easy go. I lost my depot.
Petition, no. They won't refund depots. Petition, they won't refund depots. Petition, they won't refund depots. Won't refund depots. Salvage or depots. No, no, no. Mama Seagull,
Mama Seagull, let me go.
Hill Mars above has a shutdown put aside for me, for me, for me. So you close all your circuits and mix them down time. So your server will lag out and leave me to die.
Downtime doesn't matter. Downtime doesn't matter to me. Anyway, this is love.